Welcome to the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections Oral History Project, where we work to record the oral histories of current and former DOC employees. I'm DOC Communications Director Susan McNaughton. This oral history focuses on memories from the October 1989 riot at the State Correctional Institution at Camp Hill. Our guest today, August 20th, 2019, is Tom Rogoski. Thank you for joining us, Tom.
You're very welcome.
Before we begin, Tom, could you please provide us with a brief overview of your DOC career? Tell us at which facilities you worked, which offices you worked, and the titles that you held, and then when you finally retired.
Okay. I began my career as an intern out of the Penn State graduate program. Jeff Beard and I were fellow students at the time. I started as a counselor intern at the Harrisburg Community Corrections Center. It was at 9 South 10th Street at the time.
Okay.
I was there for about 10 or 12 weeks, and then I was hired as a corrections counselor at the York Community Correction Center. Worked there for about 8 or 9 months and was hired as the staff assistant to the director of community corrections here. The person at that time was Dan DeVos. And my resume has the exact dates on it, so
okay.
You can look at those. I was in that position for a while and then became the acting regional director of what was the South Central region of community corrections in those days. There were 6 regions. It was called community services. And I was in charge of the South Central region, which encompassed Harrisburg, York, and some other small nonprofit facilities. From there, for some reason, I was hired as director of records for the Department of Corrections in Central Office. And held that position for about a year. I don't know how I ended up there, but I was there for about a year, and then became assistant director of community corrections here in Central Office under Tom Baer.
Okay.
And remained in that position with Tom Baer and then with Charlie Pagana. And became the regional director of a different region, Region 2, which was the whole central area of Pennsylvania, including Scranton, Allentown, Harrisburg, York, Johnstown, and a number of contract facilities. And I stayed in that position for, it must be at least 13 or 14 years, and then was appointed director of community corrections, and remained in there until I retired in 2003. And from there, I became a consultant with the Kintock Group in Philadelphia for about 4 years and then retired completely.
Okay, great. Wow. Very busy career.
It was.
So let's go to the Camp Hill Prison Riot in October 25th. It started in 1989. Mm-hmm. Tell me what you remember about it. How did it start? Where were you when it started? And let's just talk about what you may remember.
At the time, I was a regional director for community corrections, and I can recall coming to central office one day, and there were sirens everywhere. Someone had a police scanner, and all we could hear was state police channels directing their people to the institution. At that time, community corrections was in a small building on Utley Drive. So I went there, and we listened to a scanner there, and it was the first day. And realized things were going on. We could hear some of the deputy superintendent trying to talk to the inmates who apparently had a radio at the time and to talk them into surrendering. And the last we heard, it had calmed down that day. So I went home
So what time of day do you think that was?
That was later in the afternoon, 5-ish when I left.
Okay.
Patsy Graybar was the secretary there, I remember, because her and I were listening to the scanner at the time. And the next day I just heard that everything had broken loose and went to the Utley Drive office and kind of remained there for that day, not really doing anything but watching the smoke and everything. And
so the Utley Drive building was about a mile away from the Camp Hill prison, but certainly you could probably see the smoke from outside of Utley Drive, right?
Yes, it looked like something out of Apocalypse Now with the smoke billowing and the helicopters and everything. I was able to drive the next day. I had an official car, so the roads were blocked at the top of Slate Hill Road, but they let us go down, and we went down to the building. That evening, and I don't know what happened inside that during that day because I wasn't inside. But that evening we started in one of the horse barns.
Okay.
The National Guard had brought in stoves and set them up for us. And we cooked 3,000 chicken TV dinners that night until about 4 o'clock in the morning.
So this is October 26th?
Yes,
second day.
Okay. Yes.
Charlene
Turner was there, Mike Epica, and some other folks. I can't remember everybody's name, but we were there most of the night, and they were taking the dinners in by truck.
So these were dinners to feed the inmates?
Inmates and staff.
Okay.
Inmates and staff. In fact, they still, the next day, they were still using them to feed staff and inmates. We did that all night, went home, slept for a few hours, came back, and I went to central office, and we made thousands of bologna and cheese sandwiches in the cafeteria all day long. And
from there you could look out the window.
Yes.
And see what was going on in the main yard area where,
yes,
it was taking,
yes,
place.
Yes, there were fires burning and the like.
How many feet from the fence would you say that part of the building, the central office building, was?
Not.
I mean, you were pretty close.
You could get drive a car through, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
In back of the building by the kitchen.
So the width of a roadway.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then the fence.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. It was real close. I can remember some staff hollering at inmates to stop it through the fence.
Really?
I don't know if it did any good, but yeah. I can't remember who it was.
Yeah. And there was a guard tower right there, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody was in the guard tower or not.
Mm.
The tower would have opened. I think it opened outside the fence, as I recall. So there could have been. We did that for the whole day. And the next morning, a group of us went into the institution. This is after the state police had taken over the institution.
So that morning, that same morning?
No, the next was the next morning.
So Saturday.
Yes.
That would have been October 28th. Okay.
We went in, and there was nowhere to house the inmates because not only had the cells been the locking mechanism tampered with and all that, but the inmates had hoarded everything they could find, and their cells were just full of steaks and anything you could think of that they could find laying around. They stuck in the shelves. I don't know whether they thought that they weren't be cleaned out, but
when you say steaks, do you mean like meat steaks?
I remember
food.
Cleaning out one cell that must have had 24 thick steaks in it.
Well, they were burning fires. Maybe they thought they were going to barbecue.
They could have cooked them, I guess. So, so what we did was, there was a group of us from community corrections, counselors and monitors and all who volunteered to go inside, and we started cleaning cells out. And by cleaning them out, we just took everything that was in the cell, absolutely everything that wasn't tied down, and threw it in the floor in the recorder. In the middle of the cell.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that on a tier, and they would come in with small bobcats and push it out the other side and then load them into trucks and pull them out until we had every cell cleaned.
Mattresses and everything.
Everything
that was loose.
Anything that was loose wasn't tied down. And TVs, we found TVs, 3 or 4 TVs in a cell, and books and rods, metal rods, and you name it. It was in there. And it took us, we did that for 2 days. I don't remember how many hours, but there were long hours of just cleaning out as much as we could. And then the officers would come in, and once a cell block was cleared, they'd search it for other contraband that might be hidden somewhere, and before they were able to move inmates there. State police were in while we were there. We called them the ninjas because they were all hooded and carried their own water and food. And
tell me about the weather while you were cleaning out these cells. So there's no air conditioning, obviously.
No.
And it was a warm cell.
It was a very warm cell.
So it must have been very hot.
Yes, it was. It was
hot
and smelly and
smoky
because the
and
food and it was there. Yeah, and the burnt smell. From the buildings, some of the food was rotting already.
Mm.
I'm sure. Yes, it, I can remember it was very hard for October, or September.
October.
Yeah. Unusually so. If it probably would have been cold, it would have affected the situation a lot differently than the way it was. I remember seeing the inmates cuffed to the wall, to the fence, and the officers bringing them back one by one, and putting them in the cells and locking the cells with chains and padlocks. I don't know where they got that many handcuffs, chains, and padlocks, but they had them. Linda Morrison will probably
think my next interview is going to cover that.
Yeah.
Do you remember, because somebody said that they brought the inmates in to the cells, like 4 to 6 inmates at a time, and every 2 inmates were handcuffed together. Do you remember seeing that?
I don't remember seeing them handcuffed. They were handcuffed, but I don't remember them seeing, I don't remember seeing them handcuffed. They moved them with horses.
Uh-huh.
In groups when they could, and they strip searched them one by one and then put them in the cell. I remember driving one day to the state surplus to pick up raincoats that they had. They had hundreds of raincoats. I don't know what they did with them, but I ran them over there and drove in through the fence and delivered them. And
for staff? Use,
yeah,
or?
I think they were for staff use. They were looking for anything anywhere that they could use, I would imagine.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a tough time for everybody. I also remember I believe it was Pizza Hut had a truck there, a food truck, and was giving free pizza to all the staff, and they were there for at least a full day, and they were giving out pans of pizza to whoever needed to be fed.
I heard about that afterwards.
Yes.
And was like, ugh, I had toast and I could have had pizza.
yes. It was really nice of them. I mean, I'm sure that they made some fans there, but that was still very nice of them to do that. And they were giving out lots of pizzas.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was an interesting time. In community corrections, what we tried to do then, as soon as we could, was to take any inmates who are on our waiting lists in any institution anywhere, because they were trying to place inmates wherever they could, and move them to community corrections immediately to free up bed space in our institutions. And we did that for a good long time. Whenever we'd get somebody as quick as we could, we'd move them out, even if we had a double, use furloughs and double beds and try to make some space wherever we could, because we knew they needed it all over the place.
Wow. So it also impacted the community correction system.
It did. We tried to do as much as we. It really didn't impact us, except that we tried to help the institutions as much as we could by moving people out and making space.
Right.
We had the ability to do that, whereas they couldn't release inmates just anywhere.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah, and the people who came in with me to work in the institution to clean out the cells were from the Harrisburg and New York Community Corrections Centers. And they spent a day and 2 days at least cleaning out cells. So it was an interesting time and a strange situation. I've seen some of the pictures. A counselor was taking pictures inside.
Oh.
I can't remember his name, but... But someone probably does. He was inside taking as many pictures as he can of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So
I
they may be
available. I did find a lot on the internet that I've never seen before.
Okay.
Just saw them for the first time over this past weekend.
Yeah. And did you see I must have done 10 or 11 or 12 video cassettes. I was recording the news, because it was on the news 24/7 then.
Mm-hmm.
And I was recording everything I could record as much as I could. And I think I gave them to John Polakovich. But there were 2 sets of them, because we reproduced them, so they're around somewhere.
We had a bunch.
Did you?
Being the press office.
Okay.
And I did hand them over to archives.
Okay.
So
okay.
They have them. Whether or not they can play them, because they were on VHS, is a whole. That's their problem now, I guess. But
yeah, I'm sure they have.
Yeah.
There's
out on the internet.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was indeed an interesting time and affected the department. I had some of the officers who were injured work in the regional office where I was. At the time, the regional office was on Elmerton Avenue in a little house on the state farm grounds, on the state hospital grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some of the officers working there to temporarily get them back to work.
Wow. So. But yet not on the grounds.
Not on
the
institution, right? Yes, yes.
Were some of those hostages?
I had three. No, none were hostages.
Okay.
And none were physically injured.
Okay.
One was a woman who helped out in with our secretarial stuff, and the other two are tradesmen, as I recall.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that was mostly my involvement with it. I at the time, I was the region was getting support from Camp Hill, administrative, physical, and supplies, and all that sort of stuff. So, a few years earlier, Ernie Patton had offered to me to attend his staff meetings every week, and I did. As much as I could, I was at the institution and continued that when Bob Freeman came on as superintendent. So I knew Camp Hill a little bit more than just somebody from Community Corrections. I sat at their staff meetings and listened to the folks. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
I should do that now, maybe. Maybe they do. I don't know.
Some may. I don't think so now, though.
Oh, yeah.
Especially now that they're part of what really is parole, and not part of the Department of Corrections like it used to be. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've worked for every director of Community Corrections except one, and every secretary or commissioner except one. And well, one and the present one.
Right.
So, yeah.
Do you, when you were cleaning out the cells with everybody else, do you remember like seeing things that you were like, wow, I can't believe they have this, or where they shouldn't have had this?
Well, they had tools
mm-hmm.
that they'd stolen from wherever they broke into an institution. Lots of food.
Lots of food. Wow.
Food was the most, a stack of steaks 2 feet high. Lots of TVs.
I think
clothes.
I remember reports later on from, you know, inmates filing grievances that like things like their wedding rings were thrown away and stuff like that. And did we end up, do you recall, I don't know if you would know, but did we end up reimbursing them?
I don't know.
Okay.
I never saw, we didn't save anything. The main purpose was to empty the cells to have places to put the inmates back to. And I don't remember any jewelry or anything like that, but at some points we were just sweeping stuff out the door on the floor and out into the corridor and, you know, below mm-hmm. or at that level, depending on what tier we were in.
Were there some of those cells that everybody knew there's no way you can even hold an inmate in there? Like,
well, we didn't, I don't know.
Okay.
After we cleaned the cells out, the officers came in and cleaned and searched everyone. And I think they hosed them out at some point in time,
and then they would have determined.
They would make that determination
yeah.
whether there were plumbing problems or whatever.
Do you remember seeing holes busted through all of the walls?
Yes, and the cell blocks to the as you go first go in the institution to the right. I don't remember what they were called, but those were the cell blocks that were. It looked like somebody shot a cannon off at one cell on the end, and the cannonball went right through all the cells and came out the end.
Wow.
Because the walls were very brittle. It was built for juveniles, and they were a ceramic kind of brick, very smooth on the outside, and
mm-hmm.
the ceramic was baked on, and they were very brittle.
Huh.
And you could see the holes right through them.
So they just went from one cell right to the next
yeah.
down the tier.
All the way down.
Wow.
All the way down. Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. You could see the burnt out buildings some of the amazing sights in addition were I'm driving over the hill on Lisburn, going down to the central office on the right was full of state police cars. The whole field. And then the next field was full of TV dishes, the whole field, and it was something to see. I remember the press person for Cumberland County coming out and saying, please turn your cell phones off,
the satellites are jammed, we have no communications, so many things like that, so many press conferences. The press person, John from Camp Hill, was just, he was exhausted. He just...
He had been up, I forget what the reason was, but he was up most of the night before the 25th, and then the 25th happened, and so he was extremely exhausted.
Oh yeah, it was three days at least he was up trying to get things done and answering questions. And it was tough on everyone.
I think at some point he kind of barked back at a reporter, and that's when the DOC press secretary said, we need to relieve him.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. He was exhausted. I went to see him one day, and
I think everybody was really fatigued and in disbelief and shock.
It was a strange sight to watch the floodlights. I was up in the horse barn when we were cooking it in, so you could see buses coming in and spotlights and leaving with inmates and opening up. I once talked to the, I guess he was director of treatment at Waymart then. Was it Waymart? I think it was Waymart.
Well, they opened Waymart as a result of the riot.
That's it. Okay. I remember him saying, we just opened it up, they're coming. They're going, what? So, yes, I had to put inmates wherever they could. It was a strange, interesting time. And probably...
I think that's Tom's phone going off.
Nobody important calls me anymore. What was I saying? It was an interesting time, and it affected so many people, so many jobs, so much. It affected the department so much because of huge inpouring of money for supplies and equipment for the whole system. Then additional institutions, Secretary Lehman came in right after that, and a whole lot of things happened.
Yeah. I know that they made a lot of policy changes, tool control and all that kind of stuff, key control. Did any of that impact you in the community correction system?
No, not really. We just kept doing what we were doing and tried to expand as much as we can. We expanded somewhat under Lehman, but we really grew under Secretary Horn. Expanded all kinds of facilities, all kinds of services, and the way we did things.
What I find interesting about the riots is that, I guess in any major emergency, no matter what your title or classification, your dedication kind of draws you to each other, and you do what needs to be done.
That's right.
So you were making sandwiches alongside of clerical staff.
Everybody, yeah. I was cleaning cells outside, alongside monitors from centers and clerical staff and counselors, and everybody just pitched in and helped.
It's interesting, probably a shame, too, that, after such an emergency situation, that's when everybody pulls together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you really felt the family and the camaraderie after. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes, you do. Everybody just volunteered and went in to help. And it was dirty, hot, sticky work. Because it was very warm then, and we were in confined areas with no air conditioning, and doing physical labor to help get some space available as soon as we could, and ate some of those chicken TV dinners too, because there was nothing else there to eat.
Wow.
And I still have some scars from the stoves. They were not very effective. They somehow worked on gas. The National Guard had brought in about, there must have been about eight of them. And I don't know where they got the frozen TV dinners from, but we had to put them in, cook them, trying to figure out if they were hot. take them out, get them in a truck, and then I remember the guy who was driving the truck. He was the automotive guy. He passed away a few years ago. Russ, I can't remember his last name, but he was delivering. That's all he did was drive the truck back up, fill up the truck, TV dinners, take it back down again. Institution stayed that out locked state for a while, a good while. I remember how long, but the state police were in there for a long time,
mm-hmm.
Which they enjoyed, I think.
Who, the state police?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, lots of overtime, and and many of them retired shortly thereafter.
Mm.
Yeah. Other amazing thing that I remember seeing was driving up Route 15 and watching just rows and rows of state police vehicles coming off the turnpike, lights flashing, 30 or 40 or 50 vehicles at a time. That was another.
I've heard other people talk about that they were on the turnpike and could be passed by these
rows and
rows.
Rows of them just flashing their lights and moving.
Amazing to see.
Yeah, it's just the whole, you remember the hill, how big that was.
Yeah.
It was full of state police vehicles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then in the next hill full of TV dishes. Everybody, ABC, CBS, NBC. CNN, I think, was small then. But they were all there.
Yeah.
There were no celebrity announcers that I saw, though.
Right.
Any of the stations, I guess we weren't quite that big. But it was a friend of mine who just texted me, was in Kuwait, and he heard about it on the Kuwaiti TV.
Oh, my.
Yes.
I do think Tom Brokaw called at one point.
Did he?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But I didn't get to see any of that because I was stuck at my desk answering the phones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is there anything else that you want to mention that we might have forgotten or not gotten to?
No, I think that's pretty much it. You get more interesting things from those that were inside. I do know the Academy folks all armed up and headed there to help out as much as they could, and they did get the students, the cadets, corrections officer trainees, I guess, who were in the classes there into the institutions.
Well, that's
also
quite a way to start your career.
Yes, it is.
I'd love to hear from some of those people.
Yes.